available for what you want in my life. And friend, time and time again, I could give experience after experience. And I think some of you here in your life, you could give experience after experience in your life whenever you made God available. Whenever you made yourself available to God and what He did with your life. Not because of anything that we had done, but because of what Jesus did. And I like this passage here in Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22, talking about one of the sons, Jacob, that is here. We know that Jacob, his brother, is Esau. And we know that Jacob stole, okay, he stole the blessing, he stole the birthright from his brother. But we see here that God is working through him. This is Jacob whenever he is older. But in verse 22, it says, "And he," talking about Jacob, "rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but what? Israel. Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, my life is saved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel, they eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." And oh, friend, we can have a hope in Jesus. We can have a hope in God. Friend, are we available to him? And we're thinking about availability today. We're thinking about it in this way. Being available. A pursuit. Because it is a pursuit. It's a pursuit to want God. Did you get that? It's a pursuit to want God. We have to pursue him. We have to pursue, I shouldn't say pursue him. We have to pursue this want to want him. We need to want him. Oh, we understand that before we were saved, before we knew Jesus Christ as our Savior, we didn't want him. We didn't want anything to do with him. But it was God who reached down his hand into the middle of our lives. And he said, "I want you for me." And if we chose to believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior because he came and gave his blood on the cross for our sin, he saved us from our sin. And you see, only then God placed the Holy Spirit inside of us and he draws us unto himself. He draws us to be more like Jesus. 200 years after Christ, we know was born 0 AD BC, and he lived for another 33 years after that. But 200 years after Christ, China's Han Dynasty began its ruthless conquest of neighboring territories. And during a particular battle, an enemy soldier, knowing he was defeated, he stripped off part of his shirt. Guess what color it was? White, yeah. And he waved it in the air. And it was an act of surrender. And so thus it began that tradition of when you surrender, you raise the white flag in the air and you say, I'm done. I'm done. For the first century Roman soldiers, their white flag was their shield. And when surrendering, a centurion would drop his sword and raise his shield above his head, an act of defenseless yielding, an act of surrender. Kind of like whenever you see those cop shows, or maybe you had this happen in real life where a cop pulls you over, okay? And they have you get out, and what do you, sometimes you gotta take, you gotta put your hands in the air, okay? And they do what they have to do. That's what he's talking about there. You lift your shield up in the air and your whole body's exposed. You're defenseless. But it's an act of surrender. The Bible teaches that every person has a free will. And since Eden, we have been making choices and dealing with the consequences. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not. God doesn't force any person to do what they don't want to do. If you're here this morning and you don't want to be saved, God will not save you. He won't save you. He's not going to force you into something that you don't want to do. He's not going to force you to believe on him. He's not going to force you to be a part of his church. He's not going to force you to come to church whenever they have services and the church gathers together. He doesn't force anyone to do that. Now, could he do that? Yeah, he could. If he wanted to. But God is too gracious to us. You see, Satan would force you to do his bidding, but he can't. And so he manipulates and he deceives us into thinking what is good. Most of the time, what we want and what God wants are not in parallel. And they really don't begin to get into parallel until we do this first thing, and that is wave our white flag. God, I surrender. God, I'm surrendering to you. It's what you want now, God. And that right there is where the pursuit to want God begins. It's where it begins. Because you see, we could want him. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. We can want him. We can go after him with all that we have. But you see, we will never measure up to what God wants for us. What does he want of us? What does he say in his word? He says, be ye what? Holy. Yeah, Bob said it. Be ye holy. For I am holy. He requires holiness of us. Now let me ask you something here in this life. Are we ever going to be holy for God? Shake your head. No. No. Okay? No. Irvin says sometimes. He's not being holy right there. No. It ain't going to happen. You can fool yourself, you can trick yourself, you can think that you're being good, you can think that you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. No, we cannot be holy even though that God calls us to that. And we shouldn't just stop trying not to be holy. We should try. We should do what God wants in our lives. But friend, are we ever going to get there? No, we don't get there until what? We die, and what do, Megan? Fly away. Yeah, fly away. Not until we get there and we fly away. And so this pursuit to want God, what does that mean, Pastor Greg? That means I got to cut myself off. Because you see, whenever I decrease, he what? Increases. Yeah. He increases. The pursuit to want God to have him in my life comes the more that I cut myself off, the more that I put myself aside. And that's hard. That's hard. That's hard for any one of us. Why? Because of who we are. Because of the things that we want, because of the selfishness that we have. And so that first step in availability, a pursuit to want God, is number one, surrender. Surrender, being saved at its root, is the act of surrendering. It's a humble surrender unto him. What's it admitting? It's saying that God, I can't win this war against sin. I can't do it. In fact, if it's me, that looks pretty good. I'm going to jump right in it, Lord. And so whenever we choose to believe on Christ as our Savior, we're surrendering unto him, and we're surrendering to what Jesus did on the cross instead of trying to fight the battle of righteousness on our own. We are throwing in the towel of self-effort. And what are we saying? We're saying, God, I trust in you. God, I'm having faith in you. God, it's no more of me, but it's because of you. Charles Stanley once told of his evangelism professor's impossible test. So much information was required that it was impossible to pass. But yet there was an out. On the last page of the test, the simple instruction was to sign your name and you would receive 100%. The only catch, you weren't allowed to try to take the test first and then sign your name. It was all or nothing. There would be no combination of effort and grace, no mixture of faith and works. So it is with our salvation. Turn over in your Bibles. Keep your finger there in Genesis. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 and verse number 6. Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, okay, what's he talking about? He's talking about being saved, okay? He's talking about the election. He's talking about those who choose to believe on Christ as their Savior. And if by grace, then is it no more of what? Works. It's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, this salvation thing is only by the grace of God. Whenever we surrender, that's so foreign, okay? That's so foreign. But you know what? Some of us, we need to kind of take into that, you know, especially in our lives, especially in our families, men and ladies, husbands and wives. We always think of surrender as what? Well, they win. Well, they get the last word. Well, they get what they want. But not when it comes to Jesus, not when it talks about this life of faith to him. If we surrender, we win. We win. And the point of surrender, whenever we got saved, we got all of God. We got all of God. He put his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, to mold us and make us after his image. But guess what? Whenever we got saved, we got all of God, but God didn't get all of us. He didn't get all of us. Revelation 3:20 says that he is knocking at the door of our heart. Look, it may not be the front door. Maybe it's a closet where you keep all of your skeletons. And he wants them to come out so that we can confess these things unto him. Maybe it's the secret room that we have in our lives that we're not going to let anybody go there. But it's that place that God wants in your life. And it's time to open the door. Surrender is opening the door to God and letting him come in and fix the things that are there. That are there. Typically, what do we think of whenever we think of surrendering? We think of someone who is weak, don't we? We don't surrender, okay? We never forfeit in softball games. We never forfeit in football games. You don't do that. You don't see that. You know, it's the way it was when I was young. It didn't matter if we had six people there. If we could play the game, we were playing the game, man, even though baseball requires nine. Hey, man, we got six or seven, we're playing. I don't care if we get beat 30 to nothing. You know what? We're playing. Why? Because that's what we do. We play, we go at it, we never give up. And we think surrender is weakness, but in reality, what is it? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to get on this wheel, okay? And we're going to keep running, okay, like a hamster on this wheel. And we're going to keep trying and trying and trying and trying to muster up all the righteousness in our life. And we're going to keep trying and trying and trying to do those things which are good to God to gain his favor so that we can be saved. And you know what the thing about that wheel is? It don't stop. It don't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. And you can run as fast as you want. You can run as slow as you want. But guess what? If you ever decide to take and get off that wheel, you're still going to be in the same spot that you started at. You know? And so this availability to God, it's about surrender unto him. Surrendering what? Well, whenever we come to faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're surrendering to God and saying, God, you know what? I can't do this. I can't go to God and meet him and to give an account for my sins and everything is going to be okay and I'm going to get to heaven. I can't do that. I need Jesus as my Savior. You know what? That's the great thing about it. Whenever we're in Jesus, okay, here's Jesus, here's us. Whenever we're in him, God's not seeing us. God's seeing Jesus. God's seeing him. We need to surrender our control. Ooh, man. Ugh. Who wants to do that? Man, sometimes us, we can have a big issue with that, can't we? Because we like control. We do. Makes us feel empowered. Especially whenever we want to, and people that are the perfectionist type of people, okay, and I know, this is me, okay, I'm preaching to me. I can be one of those type of people wanting things done a particular way and at the particular time that I want them done, okay? And, you know, I've learned to kind of, hey, you gotta be flexible in that. But whenever we surrender our control, we loosen our grip on the circumstances that are happening. And we be honest with God about who we're really not. When we surrender our pride. Our independence. And that's hard, but do you know what? We need armor bearers in our life. We need armor bearers for encouragement. We need armor bearers for accountability in our lives. Oh, Pastor Greg, I don't know. I don't think I can tell these things to some people. And you know what? You could take that attitude and you could take your sins and the things that you struggle with to the grave. But let me tell you something. From now until the day that that happens, your life will be miserable. Your life will be miserable. And there won't be freedom that is there. We need to surrender the glory. God, it's not about me. It's about you. When something in life goes right, whenever success finds us, hey, God, this is all you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that you're doing this and giving him the credit that he deserves. And what happens whenever we do that? What happens whenever we surrender any one of those things? Number one, God gives us new priorities in our lives. He didn't just want something from God. You just don't want something from God, but you want to know God. Look back in the story at Genesis 32. Jacob was there, and we know that whenever Esau and Jacob was born, the name Jacob means what? Deceiver, that's right, he's a liar. Imagine going through in your life and knowing that you're carrying that name, Jacob, the one who is the deceiver. And you have to go through your life and you have to live with that attached to you for all of your life. And so he is the deceiver, and rightly so in his life. He deceived his brother. He tricked him out of his birthright. He got the land from his father and the things that were there. But you know what? Jacob began to surrender himself, and Jacob wanted God. He wanted God in his life. And we see that because he was left alone in verse 24, and it says there that he wrestled a man, and we know that that man was the angel of the Lord. I believe it was a pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ that came down and that he was wrestling with. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's when the angel saw that he wasn't going to win over Jacob. That the angel did something that no man could do. He touched right here in the hollow of his thigh, and it popped right out of joint. And Jacob couldn't move. But you know what? Jacob was hanging on. Even though Jacob was beat up, even though Jacob was, I'm sure, tired from wrestling, however long that he was wrestling for, you know what? Even when he was down and beat up, he was holding on because he wanted God. Because he wanted God. And friend, in your life, after you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? Listen, come on. Some of you need to listen up, because you're going around in this circle, and God brings you around to this point over and over again. And why is it? Because we don't get it the first time. I know, I've been there, okay? I've been a bonehead before, okay? You know how it is. You go into the refrigerator and you open it up and your wife asks you to get something. And you know what? And you're there and you're looking in the refrigerator and you're looking all over and back in there, and you think, man, I can't see this thing at all. And so you close it and you say, honey, I can't find it. And she said, look again, it's on the second shelf. And so you go open and you look, and right there it is in front of your face in the second shelf. Yeah? You got to go over and you got to repeat it again. You know, it's the same way in our lives. God brings us to these points in our lives where he has something for us to surrender, where he has a lesson for us to learn. And you know what? We get to this point and there's a choice. God gives a free will. We're going to learn from it. We're going to surrender to it, or we're going to say, God, I want my own way. And so then guess what happens? We're going to go around in the circle just like the children of the wilderness did for 40 years. Okay? And at some point in time in our life, it may be a couple months, it may be a couple years, it may be a decade, but God's going to bring you back around to that same point again. Here we go again. What's it going to be? And you know what? We don't move forward in our lives. Sometimes we think that we do, but really we're just going through all of this other stuff again to bring us back to this point. oh, it's going to be the same lesson. It's just maybe in a different way. Okay? And so God is bringing you to this point. And he's saying, listen, are you going to surrender to me? Listen, are you going to be available to me? He didn't just want something from God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to know God face to face. This lieutenant that we began to talk about a little bit earlier, Lieutenant Hora Onada, he never realized this. He fought as the last Japanese soldier for 29 years after World War II had ended. And why did he keep fighting? Could you imagine that? 20, 25 years, 29 years after the war is over and this man is still fighting, this man still standing his post, this man still thinks things that are going on. And why is it? Because he never surrendered. He's fighting the same battle, but he never surrendered. And that's exactly what Christians, that's what we need to do. We need to surrender. At some point in time, his bravery turned into madness. His pure loyalty had become a lonely hell that was there. And we can feel sorry for a person like that, but you know what? Some of us, we do the same thing. God has brought us to a point in our 20s or our 30s. And you know what? We've said with our actions, nope, I'm doing it my way. All right. God don't force you. God just lets you go. And so you go along and you keep going and God brings you around and he brings you to this point. He says, okay, what's it going to be? Is it going to be, you're going to surrender? Or are we going to keep battling the same war that we're battling? Jacob had been a deceiver, a trickster, and now is when God wanted to change his life. And you know what? Jacob said, all right, God. And you know what? He wanted God. He came to the end of himself and he wanted God. And he wanted God so much that he was willing to wrestle an angel to get a blessing from God. And he did. And he renamed him. He said, that's a great thing because whenever we die here on this earth, you know what? There are some people that they know me and they know truly who I am and they could tell you stories about me that would make my face hide in shame. But you know what? Whenever I get to go in glory and be with Jesus, guess what he says? He says he's got a new name written down for me in glory. Amen. For you too, if you know Christ as your Savior. You know what? Some of you here, you need to surrender. You need to be available to God. You need to change your priorities for Him. Do you put God first in all that you do? And friend, how much better off would you be if you do? Not only does He give you a new priority whenever you surrender to Him in your life, but He gives you a new power. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. Second Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, once we surrender, and this is so weird, you know? Once we surrender and we say, okay, God, I'm done. God, I'm done. I'm all yours. God, I'm available to you. God, I'm waving the white flag. We think of defeat, we think of that is not a good thing, but it is. Because God gives us this new power in our lives. He reveals his strength through our weakness. Look, you can't do it. That's okay. You try as hard as you can to do, but you can't do it. That's all right. God's going to be there and God is going to work. Are you living in your strength or are you living in God's strength? Isn't it time to surrender? Isn't it time to experience God's power in your life? He wants you to. He really does. Not only does he give you a new priority and a new power, but he gives you a new perspective. God sees things one way, and we tend to see things a little bit different way. And why is it? Because we just got the view from down here. All we see is what goes on right here. God's got the bird's eye view. God knows what's going on. Man, how many of you have ever been up in a helicopter before or a plane before? Helicopter, plane. How many of you went up in the air and something else and you were looking, okay? Or maybe you ever gone up to the kissing tower up at Hershey and you can take and you can look out. Yeah, okay. You didn't kiss anybody, did you, while you were up there? But, you know, when you get higher, we get a little bit different perspective on things. And we can see out and we know what's going on. You know what? That's the way it is with God. He's got a different perspective on things. He knows what's going on. God knows what's going on in the hearts of people around you. And that's why he may lead you to a place where you don't understand, or talk to a person that you don't understand why you're talking to them. And there's nothing manipulative, but it's about ministering. And that's what God wants, ministering, to have a ministering spirit. How do we see other people? Do we see what we can get out of them? Or do we see what we can do for them? For them. He gives us a new perspective in our life. Now look back in your Bibles at Genesis, verse 32. After the angel comes in and the angel touches his leg, guess what? Jacob can't walk like he used to before. What does he have now? A limp. Yeah, he's got a limp. Now God, what in the world are you doing? Surely I need both legs to go forward and to do ministry in the way that you want me to do it, God. And God says, whenever you're weak, I'm strong. And so he gave Jacob a limp. And for the rest of his life, Jacob had to walk with a limp. And why did he do that? Well, what does the limp do to him? It slows his pace down. And by slowing his pace down, Jacob can have better relationship with his wife. Jacob can have a better relationship with his family. And it's a new pace for Jacob's life. It's not his pace that he wants to go on. And you know what? Some of us, we want to go there. We want to get there as fast as we can to do it and go off to the next thing. God gives us a new pace. It's his pace. It's his pace. Oh, and we may battle that. I battle that in my life. Well, God, why did you have this happen? Why didn't I get there on time? And man, you know, I hate being late. You know, even if it's 5 minutes late, I hate being late. I do, you know? Some of you guys, you understand, you're here looking at me. You were there this morning waiting, looking at the clock. Honey, we got to go. Honey, church is getting ready to start. Honey, come on. Okay. You know what? They get like that with us sometimes too. Okay. Whenever we're twaddling around, doing whatever we're doing. Okay. But you know what? It's God's pace. It's God's pace. Sometimes there's a reason why he has us to be late. And we don't understand that. We just have to trust in Him. We got to trust in Him. And friend, how about you in your life? What are you saying to God with the actions in your life? Because there's a lot of talkers. There's a lot of talkers. Even Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into heaven, right? Yeah. You know what? How about our walk? What is our walk saying to God? Are we saying that we're available to Him? Are we saying that, God, I'm raising the white flag? God, I want your new priorities. God, I want your new power. God, I want your new perspective. God, I want your new pace on life. God, I'm surrendering to you. You know, some of us today, we need to do that. Some of us today, we've been running on that hamster wheel. Some of us today, we've gone around and God's bringing us to this point again. And He's saying, okay, what's it going to be? Are you going to surrender to me? Number one, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Some of you are coming around to that point again. And God's offering. He's saying, come unto me. I've given my Son for you. I've given His blood for you. Will you come unto me? Will you trust in me? And for those of you that have been saved, He's saying it to you. Will you come unto me? Will you raise the white flag? Will you surrender?